like that shirt you have on today. It's very fitting.
Thanks,
for what
man.
We're talking about today.
I try to dress on brand.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like, what is it? Andy Warhol does the soup? Is that what that's referencing?
Yeah, like pop art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and we got a show, don't we?
We this sure do.
This is a podcast. The Trey Reuters podcast. We read some comics. It's like a club. Book club for comics.
It sounds like you're giving a presentation with a presentation you've never seen before.
Right. like your friend does. Your friend does the PowerPoint. You're like,
And it's a comic book club.
I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Trade specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got segments. We start with the news. You can skip to whatever segments you want. Lots of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out.
I thought we were in the news already. There's tons of different segments. Yeah, skip around if you want. But if you're listening to this 50 years in the future and you're like, I don't care what the news is like.
Yeah.
Just skip to the book.
Nathan, some local news. Phoenix Comic Con is announcing some guests.
Oh, I'm so excited for the guests.
Have you seen some? Yeah, we got David Finch.
David the Finchster.
That he like was the first person who ever like signed stuff for me. Because that was like one of my first cons. And I just like was so shook that like this man was just there. I'm like, you make comics, and he signed like Batman 1 and 2 for me for his
the Rebirth one.
Yeah,
wow. I didn't know. I haven't even met Finch.
Really? Yeah, no. He was like drawing this like insane, just like double page spread thing. I think it was just a commission he was doing, and people were just and he was just answering questions as he was doing this masterpiece.
That's unbelievable.
And it was insane.
So
and
was then, it a big line or anything? Or
there was like 3 or 4 people around him.
No way. That's crazy to me.
And then he stopped. He's like, "All right, signatures." And then I'm like, "Oh, wait."
What has he been doing recently?
I haven't
any interiors. I think it's
I'm
been
sure
the covers,
has,
but not
but
that I've seen.
Not that I know of. And then there's Babs Tarr.
I saw that.
Did Batgirl and Harley Quinn stuff. Klaus Janson.
Yep.
Done DKR stuff.
Did some stuff with JRJR as well.
Yep. Yannick Paquette, which is a big one too. So pretty exciting stuff.
Where do I know him from? He did some Wonder Woman, right?
Yes.
Is that the one with Grant Morrison?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I know Earth his one? Name, and so I wrote it down.
Yeah.
I mean, I can look
I think he might have done some Detective Comics recently.
Maybe.
I think I picked one of them up.
Possibly.
But yeah, pretty cool so far.
Yeah, so some pretty exciting. News. I was like waiting on buying like the pass thing. I'm like, is there even a reason to go? But now there's like plenty.
You know? Oh yeah, for sure.
We got
Daniel, there's big news. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, a few things.
Yeah. Let's save the big stuff, I guess, for the end.
Yeah, we got a new book coming from Tim Seeley and Tony Fleeks called Local Man. It's like a crime noir book that has some superheroes in it and stuff.
Love it.
Sounds like Powers, but who knows? It looks different though. Coming February 22nd.
Did we talk about Tom Taylor taking over Titans?
Yes, last week.
Okay. Did you know that they're going to be like the new Justice League?
The Titans are?
Yeah.
Is there so no Justice League
There's
book?
No Justice League. They went poof.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so that's
cool.
That's a lot cooler, I feel like.
That sounds like something that would like just never happen.
Yeah. So I like that. Doom Patrol ended. It got canceled. Same thing with Titans.
Yeah, and that's like more official.
Is that surprising? No. I'm surprised Titans got that far. Doom Patrol is probably pretty good, but I'm not that far into it.
Nathan. Bigger yes. news than the news you're thinking of. Original graphic novel Pulp is going to be a movie at Legendary Studios.
Whoa, Legendary?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good studio.
I know, isn't that sick?
Yeah, they make
I've heard
movies.
Of them.
they make movies.
Yeah, so I was just like, because I was reading that, and I was like, this is cool. I don't know if it would work as like a movie or anything, but
yeah.
They're just going to go for it, and so that's cool.
Yeah. Here's something interesting that I saw. There's a new digital comics downloading and reading app that's in the works called The Omnibus.
What a great name.
It is a good name.
Who's making this?
It's from some people that have done other work for like other tech companies. Travis Schmeiser and this other dude's Twitter handle is Furious KJ. And so they recognize a bit of a hole in the market right now because 1,000%. Comixology is kind of shit.
Damn.
Because of Amazon, not the people that work for there. because they're typically pretty good, but 75% of them got laid off, unfortunately. But it's going to come to iPad early 2023 and then mobile and web soon is what it says. And you can go to omnibus.com, I'm pretty sure is what it is, and get an email notification or whatever. But I thought that was very interesting. And something that is a little concerning, I guess, is that in their like little preview thing of the app itself, no big two, which is probably because they haven't signed on yet. But I am sure if it's good enough, we'll get some big two stuff on there.
Is there image?
There's image. Yep. So we got like in their preview, there's like Bloodstained Teeth, Paper Girl, Something Is Killing the Children, which is Boom.
Okay. So maybe there's some contractual stuff there.
There could be.
But that's cool. That's a good thing to hear.
Yeah, I would jump ship from Comixology in a second.
The only thing is a better
experience app.
The only thing is like there's all that stuff that I bought on Comixology, you know?
Who gives a fuck? It'll still be there. You still have your sign in.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I wonder if they'll make something like a Comixology Unlimited, you know, where there's some stuff that's
I would sign up for that.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like so.
So
hopefully that goes well. It sucks it's going to iPad first. I guess it makes sense, but I just don't have an iPad, so I would just have to wait.
They want to survive, Nathan.
Yeah, I guess iPad's the easiest thing to create an app for. Or like the iOS stuff is like easiest to like make an app and like get it approved and deploy it. So
yeah, that's cool. Can you imagine just like in our lifetime, just like a whole platform or whatever will be just kind of weeded out potentially.
I hope it's Comixology.
Like, yeah, Comixology is gone.
Yeah.
Or something like they just cut it off somehow or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd just be like insane.
It would be kind of wild. And then we'll be like the boomers that are like, oh, I remember the good old Comixology days.
Oh, man.
I remember when we kind of are, because I remember when they added like Marvel stuff to Comixology. I think we were there before Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're pretty old already, I feel like.
Yeah. There was a time where like it just wasn't on there, or like not everything was on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw. Like, I was at the store, and I saw someone in, like, a high school, like, sweatshirt, and it said 25 on the back. And I was like, that's interesting. I wonder what 25 means. And I remembered that there are people in school now that are going to graduate in 2025, which is 10 years after I graduated high school.
Damn.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
I've almost been graduated 10 years, next year.
That's fucked up to me. So I'm getting old.
Oh, Nathan.
What's up?
Derek Wilson is an actor. He was cast as Tech Knight in the upcoming season of The Boys.
No way. Yeah. Tech Knight? That's awesome.
I know.
He's the one that's just in his mansion. He's wearing his Tech Knight shit, right?
Yeah. He goes to therapy in his Tech Knight suit.
So bulky. I wonder, it would have to be like an Iron Man, like slimmer sort of feel.
I would
imagine, right? I hope it's bulky and clunky and weird.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like they don't pull like a Black Noir, you know, make it like cooler and more practical. They just make it like absolutely ridiculous.
They've mentioned Tech Knight, I'm pretty sure, in the series as well. Because I recently did a rewatch and I was just like thinking of all the people that they name dropped.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I think that's great news.
So my source is somebody on Twitter posted it and then Dom sent it to me. And I was like, because we were talking about it.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Tech Knight's going to be in season 4 or whatever season's going to be next.
I hope that Twitter handle's like Tech Knight Lover 69 on Twitter.
Yeah. I should take that now before it's gone.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We should just be the only Tech Knight like fan account and just post like every day.
Yeah.
Jedi Survivor got delayed 6 weeks to April 28th.
No!
So that's
what the fuck, dude. I got excited this week because I remembered that, you know, I was looking at stuff that's coming up.
Well, you gotta wait 6 weeks.
What fucking difference is 6 weeks gonna make?
Crunch time.
That's
a big thing in the game.
You said April 28th?
April 28th, 2023.
I guess that leaves room for someone to get me a Xbox for my birthday. So I guess it's okay.
Yeah, that would be cool if someone did that. Not me.
Tell Sarah, like, very seriously, like, this is all he wants. All right.
Yeah, so this $300 game, you'll have to wait 6 weeks for, for you.
Shit.
$300 for you. Dana, I don't know if you heard, but there's been some DC movies and TV announcement news.
Yeah, I didn't even watch the video. Like, just everyone else was talking about it and summed it up.
I watched the video.
How long is it?
It's like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I would say probably worth the watch because they reference some comic book stuff, and it's cool seeing artists that I recognize have their stuff on such a big platform.
Yeah.
But yeah, James Gunn's like, we're doing some stuff, and it's called Chapter One, not Phase One. We're not some Marvel cucks. Okay. This is Chapter One.
Yeah.
It's called Gods and Monsters, which I think is interesting because there's only like one monster. But basically, it's going to start with Creature... Oh, I guess those are monsters, huh? Creature Commandos.
There you go.
It's going to be a TV animation show. Oh, and neat. Then Waller, which is TV live action, going to include Viola Davis. The first movie, Superman Legacy, comes out 2025 in July. Lanterns, which is a TV live action show that he pitched as True Detective in Space, which I think is fucking awesome.
Have you even seen True Detective?
No.
It's really good. You should watch the first and third season.
I've heard. Wait, isn't the second one with like Vince Vaughn? You don't like that one?
I haven't watched it. I was just told not to.
Hmm.
It's about like real estate or something. I don't know.
That sounds pretty good.
But no, the first one is like a perfect season of television.
Yeah, that's, I keep hearing that.
Third one's really good too.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I'm really excited for that. I don't know what that means because there's a Lantern Corps series that's supposedly in the works.
Probably isn't.
And then
probably, when's the Lantern thing come out? 25?
There's no date, but it's after Superman, so likely 2025 or early 2026. Then we have The Authority, which is a movie.
That's crazy.
That's a really crazy one. Brian Hitch art was like featured on it. It was like one of the covers. It's like the Authority cover. So that's pretty cool.
Good book.
Yeah. Paradise Lost, a TV live action series that's set on Paradise Island, otherwise known as Themyscira.
Right.
And he pitched it basically as what I took from it was Game of Thrones, but DC.
Okay.
Kind of. So we'll see what that ends up being. And then The Brave and the Bold, which is a movie, which is going to have the continuity in continuity Batman for the first time. Cause what the Matt the Reeves
Batman. Yeah.
Yeah. The Batman stuff, it's still going on, but that's an Elseworlds title now.
Right.
And then this one's like an in-continuity, non-Elseworlds Batman, and it's going to include Damian Wade.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. I feel like The Brave and the Bold has never been like two Bat family characters, you know? It's been like, you know, two characters that don't normally interact, but whatever. We'll let it slide. One that I think is a really good choice is Booster Gold, a TV live action series.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that one.
That's a great idea to have it as a series too.
Yeah. And then one I thought was very strange, Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because that came out like last year.
Right.
And not to say that like comics have to simmer there for a little bit until it can be adapted, but I guess he read it and he was like, this is pretty cool. Let's make it a movie.
Yeah.
So big shouts out to Tom King and Bilquis Avili and Matias Bergara, I believe. Or no, Matheus Lopez is the color. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool. That's a, that's what, just one I wasn't expecting, but it's cool that I think he's, you know, doing that book.
Yeah, I was looking at that run because I thought I had it all, but I'm missing one. I'm like, oh, now it's going to be so hard to find.
Yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah, big time. Oh, fuck, this is what happens when I procrastinate.
I mean, it's only like 8 issues, right?
12, so, isn't it? No, it is 8.
It's 8, yeah. I have all of them, and I've read like the first two, and it is really, really, but just a gorgeous book. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they translate some of the Bilquist stuff.
I'm really excited for his like Superman. Like if he's like, you know, doing the directing and stuff, I think that could be done like super well. And it'd be like the Superman that like comics fans would want, you know, like exactly. Really showing like the characteristics that people love about him.
Yeah. Then there's also Swamp Thing, which is gonna be a film.
Hell yeah, good show.
Guillermo del Toro tweeted about reading or some Swamp Thing recently, so we'll see.
That would be so perfect.
Fucking good, right? But also James Mangold posted some Twitter thing, so who knows what's going on.
But what did he say?
He just posted a like picture of like a Swamp Thing cover and said nothing. I would like both of those, but Guillermo del Toro would be super cool on a DC project. But they both like
produce, you know. It could be like both, you know, which would be crazy, but I feel like
not to like
GTD would be like the most natural choice.
I agree.
I think like maybe something for Mangold more in the vein of like Logan, you know, something that's like, I guess a little bit more
so like rustic,
I guess. That could be good.
That could be good. Yeah.
Authority is very cosmic. So it's like, you got to think like in that.
Yeah, in terms of that. That's true.
But what else we got?
That's everything. Got some curveballs there, some shit I'd never even heard of, and some expected stuff like Superman, Batman, all that. Booster Gold, I think, is a really good choice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's a pretty solid lineup.
Did you mention like Shazam and stuff?
Yeah, so those basically all the actors for the main characters in DCU except for Henry Cavill, I think are probably going to be offered to stay in continuity. He said Shazam's happening. He said Aquaman's happening. The Flash is going to be a reset.
Mm-hmm.
He just straight up said that. And which I don't think was a secret, but I don't think anybody's like actually said that.
Yeah, everyone at the same time. Pretty heavily implied.
Yeah. And then there's like one more project. Oh, Blue Beetle's still happening.
Right.
So
I'm glad it's kind of like they're not like trying to continue it, but they're also not like rebooting it. They're just kind of patching it up.
I think they're doing just the DC thing and they're like, we're making some changes. Some things will stay similar. Some things will be completely different and just deal with it, which yeah. I think is good. I also like that they're continuing Elseworld stuff like the Batman and the Joker.
Yeah, that's important.
Because I feel like it's very natural to how DC operate, like DC Comics operates rather than like Marvel Comics. Because mm-hmm. with Marvel, there's been no reboots technically. Or like everything kind of has to be in continuity in some form with Marvel. But then DC is like, here's Gotham by Gaslight and stuff like that. And
yeah.
they're chill with just being like, yeah, this is just whatever. It's just a story, you know? Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's interesting that it kind of mimics that in some way. And I think it'll be good. So pretty solid. What's if one thing here could be good, what would you choose?
The Flash. No, I'm just kidding. Probably Superman.
Yeah.
Because like the Man of Steel was obviously just super, it felt just kind of stale in my opinion. Like I was watching it, but I wasn't like attached to it, you know, like the like emotionally, like I wasn't there. Like I wasn't that connected to the characters and I wasn't like watching it. I'm like, wow, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I would like to feel the level of like awe and like inspired emotions as I felt like reading Superman four seasons or four right. all seasons. I think like that, like type of Superman would be perfect.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was nowhere near that, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, nothing recently in the last couple decades has really hit that. So
right.
I would agree with that. I think obviously I would pick Lanterns for like if one thing here had to be good, but I would also like to see a really good just Booster Gold thing. I think I think people would really enjoy that character.
Oh yeah, it would kill. Yeah. Everyone would love it.
100%. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, I look forward to casting news and all that stuff in mm-hmm. you know 2 years from now. But
yeah, we're gonna apparently it's gonna be like two movies, two TV shows every year is like the plan, I guess.
That sounds fair.
Which is like a solid amount. I don't want it to be like too much.
Like Marvel stuff hasn't come out in like a while, it felt like. Like what was it? Like She-Hulk ended was like last thing, but it felt like right after another there was all these shows.
It was like pretty consistently like
and a little overwhelming stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty underwhelming. So overwhelming. But pretty cool. Is there anything that you wish you would have announced? You're like you gotta do the Question, perhaps, or a Dead Man.
It'd be cool if he did like Strange Adventures, like the Tom King one, you know?
That'd be cool.
Since he's been publicly like a fan of that.
Yeah.
Just because like, I think that would just work really well. And I love like an underground character like that.
Exactly.
That's been brought to light. And so,
but then there's still a lot of opportunity to make it fit in like what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And just like the Maxi series is kind of like an unintentional, just like perfect pitch for like a movie kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So that would just be neat because I like the back and forward sort of thing.
And the mystery.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I think it'd be cool to see like a Captain Atom at some point. I'm unapologetically a big fan of that character for some reason.
It's because his name's Nathan.
It is pretty cool. I read one new 52 series and I'm like, this is pretty good actually. Like, pretty underrated in my opinion. Yeah, I feel like it would be cool to see like Deadman too, but he'll probably be like a chapter two type thing.
You know, on Doom Patrol a movie.
I would be a down for that. That sounds pretty cool.
All the same actors, but just big ass budget.
Imagine he announces like a Teen Titans thing after Titans got canceled.
Oh,
and,
man.
And the 10 people would be angry that watch that show.
Yeah.
So anyway, pretty exciting. I think that's the news.
Yeah. And we got an Ant-Man book this week, Nathan, because movie Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania comes out.
Because movie.
Yeah. Next week the movie will be out. So you got a little bit of Ant-Man knowledge going into this.
Exactly. What did you think of this book, Daniel?
Nathan, it's killer.
It's awesome.
It's the best Ant-Man book I've ever read, Nathan.
100%. And you're the biggest Ant-Man fan I know.
I know.
You're the biggest Ant fan in the room.
Exactly.
And
I'm a giant-sized Ant-Man fan.
I like this, and I was super jazzed by it because not only is it like a fun comic book story, but it feels like a big celebration of comics in a way because it jumps to different time periods and mimics some of the different styles and stuff and pays tribute to like other people's runs of a certain character.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if Ant-Man had a Spider-Verse in a way, but kind of different because it's like different time periods of a character, I would say.
It's kind of like a... like Ant-Man Grand Design, but without like putting that label on it.
Or an Ant-Man life story.
Yeah, well, kind of. But also just like putting all that together within the continuity without like the shtick of it being live or life story or anything like that.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty phenomenal. I was blown away by a lot of the artwork just from Tom Riley, like literally like mimicking other people's art styles or paying homage to it. I don't know if mimicking is kind of demeaning, but
nah.
But like the way that he switched up his art style to like reference the different time periods and like when these characters are like all on screen, I guess, or on the page in panel together, that you could still see like their different distinct art styles. And Jordi Belair fucking crushed this book.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Everyone did really great.
And it seems like everyone just had a lot of fun making it, which I'm a big fan of. So
this is just, these had like the best covers. Like, yeah. So simple.
Yeah. You got the Scotty one right there.
Yeah. That's a Scotty number one. You gotta do that.
You gotta get a Scotty.
But, just like them holding their helmet and you're like, you know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's like how people critique like the movie posters and stuff. Like, they don't like the floating heads. They just like something very simplistic that tells you exactly just or hints at what the movie's going to be.
One of my favorite Marvel MCU posters is Ant-Man. And it's the one where it's just a white screen and you see a little guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best one.
Killer.
And I'm like, I know exactly what this movie's about.
Huge waste of space. But
yeah.
Yeah. So, and what's fun about this is like, there's like actual like page numbers on the pages. I don't know if you noticed that.
For every issue or just like this older one?
Good question. I think it's all of them.
I don't think it is all of them. And I think you're stupid for that.
Motherfucker.
No, definitely not all of them. Hold on. I do like that added detail because there's one that takes place kind of in the Silver Age.
I guess I wrote that down when.
When you saw
when
it.
When I saw it.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Big stupid idiot. So
you big dumb.
Let's get into it, shall we?
Hold on, I gotta put this one away.
You're gonna take them all out at some point, right?
Yeah, but they gotta be safe. All right, number one. I don't. I'm a loser, and I brought the individual issues. Did you buy it on Comixology?
Yes.
So you can read in bed.
No, I didn't read any in bed, actually.
Oh, okay.
I read most of it today, in fact.
I remember when we first started the podcast, like I was like that a lot. I was like, I got to read the rest of this by lunch.
I mean, I'm typically pretty good about getting on a schedule. Like I'm trying to read like two issues for the Trade Waiters episode, two issues of just shit that I have, and then one issue of just something ongoing that I'm trying to read. And so far, I haven't got it to the ongoing thing that I'm trying to read because I'm just so bad at pacing myself. But anyway, so it starts with like some dude that's clearly from the far future and he's looking for some Ant-Mans, Daniel, and he teleports himself to the Silver Age where we see Hank Pym sort of Ant-Manning around in like a silly little adventure, and he's trying to enjoy a movie with Janet, but the future man makes an appearance and he calls Hank by name, which freaks Hank out a little bit, and he like scans his ants. And just like immediately, I love how the art style changes so quickly from like, you're like two pages that are like in the future that seem pretty like typical coloring. And then it jumps to like the Silver Age.
Yeah, where like the borders look like an aged white, or like the newspaper stock or whatever.
It's kind of like that off-white sort of beigey kind of color, which is awesome. Also, it's got the, you pointed out, the page numbers in the corner, which they used to do a lot.
Yeah.
And then just like the coloring itself is like a little bit faded, but there's some very bright highlights and like blushes on like people's faces and stuff. What's that dude, that like famous illustrator who like would do that stuff? Aryan Don has like a lot of his like pieces like up in the bathroom or whatever. What's his name? Norman Rockwell.
Yeah. I was like, Sam Rockwell? No, Sam Rockwell is the actor from Moon.
Okay. Norman Rockwell.
Yeah.
It feels kind of like that, but it definitely feels like very Silver Age comics, which is super cool.
I've said this before, but like when I was reading this issue to issue, but like this issue I thought was legit like a reprint of an old Ant-Man issue. Because I'm like, this is like so like old, you know, just like the fucking like the artwork itself, and then also just like the dialogue
and like the simplicity of, and like the stakes, like a lot of like part of this issue is him being like, there's fucking jackass named Eric O'Grady throwing popcorn at me while I'm trying to enjoy this movie about the Fantastic Four, which I guess is like in this universe is like a nonfiction movie, like that's like a documentary from his perspective, which I think is that's such a Silver Age concept.
He's like, I know them.
Yeah, but it's, I also think it's funny to, because he like, this kid's throwing popcorn at him and then he goes to get more popcorn, and so Hank puts on his Ant-Man helmet and attacks him with ants just like to get him to stop doing his thing, and he's like, well, I guess I did my deed today, which is such like a Silver Age comics type thing.
I definitely didn't pick up that he was like Eric O'Grady.
Yeah,
I was like, what's his name matter, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it comes full circle, Nathan.
And I like how in the beginning there's like the future like lettering sort of thing, and it's like making the reader part of the experience in a way.
Yeah.
And it's like reader instruction, like visualize the following word combinations, and then it like brings him to like the Silver Age like Ant-Man. And it's kind of corny, but I do enjoy it a lot.
There's a title for this issue. It's Alone Against the Antagonists.
That's the best name for a rogues gallery
absolutely
ever. The Antagonists.
Yeah, get out of here, rogues.
Oh my, it's so God. Boring. It's so good. so yeah, then Ant-Man gets paralyzed and he's captured by the window washer, who takes Ant-Man to the other antagonists members like Trago, and that's some guy with a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Time Master and the Protector. And he gets tortured by Trago's trumpet, which causes hallucinations. And then Janet finds out that Hank needs help from some ants. And this is like my favorite panel of the whole book. I talked about it when I first read this book when it was coming out. But the ants try to communicate with Janet that Hank needs help. And they try to spell the word help, but they fuck it up and they spell Hlep.
Hlep.
And I think that's so funny because Janet's like, Hank's in danger. And so then she puts on her wasp costume and like starts to go. But I think that scene is just so funny to me.
Oh, yeah.
I like how it's just amazing, like all these gimmicky like rogues gallery like people, like this dude with a trumpet. And when he plays a trumpet, you just see crazy hallucinations.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. But you'd never see this guy in like modern comics. So it's fun to just like,
wish we would.
It's fun to appreciate the absurdity of some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one guy and he just has like paralyzing liquid. That's all he's got. He's got no powers. Yeah. He just has this.
He looks like he's about to go wash some windows.
Yeah, he does. But these are like for real, like Ant-Man antagonists, which is pretty cool. So Janet, as the Wasp, finds Hank's location. She starts attacking some of the people. And then Hank uses the aging effects of the age ray that he gets shot with to escape his restraints. And then he knocks out like the rest of the people. Then he reverses the aging effects and shoots himself just like in the face. And then he's all good.
Yep.
And I like how he takes out one guy by aging the plastic that's like around that paralyzing spray. And then it just like falls on him.
Genius.
That is like, that's a funny way to take somebody out.
Yeah.
And then, so as the bad guys get like arrested, Hank sees the future man again. And then he gets brought to the future himself to meet the far future Ant-Man who needs his help against an enemy. And that's like the cliffhanger. And there's like the future like tech lettering saying like cliffhanger sequence initiated, which I think is really funny too.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Banger first issue. It's just like a fun little Silver Age adventure.
I was a little hesitant. Some
modern comics.
I was a little hesitant to get the second one just because I'm like, is it the second one going to be like this dense, you know, because it was really paying homage to like old comics and just like how the dialogue and the captions were and the thought bubbles.
Yeah.
And so I almost didn't, but I'm like, I like the cover.
Yeah. I could tell that it probably wasn't going to be because the cover for the second issue is the irredeemable Ant-Man, like Eric O'Grady suit. Yeah.
You can go back to our episode where we did that episode. Yeah, that issue.
We did do that trade. That trade. It's pretty good, actually, good I would book. Say. This is still my favorite Ant-Man design.
Easily.
It's the best.
It's so good.
And I'm glad that they didn't like shy away from this because he is like a pretty big part of this character's history, I feel like. So
yeah, because
it's like so a weird. Robert Kirkman like yeah. thing, which is he's like huge now, obviously. But it's like right in the middle of a bunch of like continuity and stuff with Marvel, too. So, But yeah, issue two. So we see Eric O'Grady, the irredeemable Ant-Man, in a pickle because he has the new Ant-Man suit. It's after he killed his friend, but before the Hank Pym from this time goes to get it. But he's got no Pym particles, so he decides to try and grave rob a dead Scott Lang, who exploded in Avengers Disassembled at this point, and is met by the same future man from the last issue, and he scans some more ants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really cool how the whole style of this book is like the Phil Hester style.
Yeah.
And I also like that they paid homage to like the little ant that would give like recaps of what happened in the issue before, like they did in Irredeemable Ant-Man. So I thought that was really refreshing. So I just like that a lot. But like, how crazy is it that he just like changed up his whole art style to be like Phil Hester? And it's like still really good.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Dial H for Hero. Joe Quinones had to like be so many different things. And he just like adapted to whatever like that writer.
Sam Humphries. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, what was your point? Joe Quinones.
Yeah, Joe Quinones being a goat and just like doing all these art styles and looks like at like the artist like guested on it almost.
Yeah, it's pretty. I would say that's like a better example of like an artist like just kind of mimicking different art styles.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would say that like I like that a lot, just to see like the range of like an artist doing different things. I think that's always super fun
because like
the coloring feels the same as well,
because when people are like so consistent and like stick their style like so much, I just feel like this is all they can do, you know. I'm like, I just feel like they just started drawing and they got so good, it got to this point, and then they just don't really fluctuate. But
yeah,
this definitely shows the talent from Ben Reilly.
Yeah, 100%. And I like that Al Ewing had like this sort of the foresight as well to be like, we got to do a thing where there's like the same panel multiple times for comedic timing. You know, that was always something that Robert Kirkman did. So pretty cool. And I thought it was funny because Eric O'Grady's talking to like this future guy and he can't tell him anything that would change the future, and so he just used him to find out how Lost ends, because I guess Lost was like going at this point, which I think is pretty fun. So he's like, yeah, they wouldn't kill Locke, he's the whole show.
I didn't even like look it up. And but then in this continuity, Hank Pym is a Skrull.
Yes,
which is fun. I didn't know. Lots of spoilers.
I don't think
Secret Invasion,
yeah.
Okay. Which we'll read eventually.
We will when that show comes out. I'm very excited for it. This year.
Spoilers.
And I don't think it'll... I hope it's good, but it'll be really hard to be good, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't think we knew that in Irredeemable Ant-Man, that the... like, just reading that book.
I don't think so.
I think it was, like, shortly after he was revealed.
Hank Pym was, like, hardly in it, wasn't he?
He was like barely in it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he just like showed him like, oh, here, look at the suit I'm working on. And then he stole it. And then Hank Pym wasn't in it much after that. But
something that was refreshing about this issue is that there is a double page spread. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And then just kind of showing the irredeemable Ant-Man like suit, like up close in a way, as he's getting punched by Scott Lang.
This double page spread it's pretty killer.
It's but the tits, Nathan.
It is the tits. So yeah, Hank Pym, Ant-Man, who's actually a Skrull, because this is during Secret Invasion, I guess, ambushes Eric, and then they fight for a bit until Eric is teleported to the future by that future guy, and then we see a couple unconscious Ant-Men there. So they've been fighting someone clearly in the future.
Well, he knocked out one, didn't he? Because he got like...
Oh, yeah.
Someone knocks him out with his like little middle arms or whatever.
Yeah, someone was like extending his hand to Eric, and then he gets like freaked out by it and then hits Hank Pym and knocks him out. But there were other Ant-Man that were there as well. And so, yeah, just everybody's getting teleported to the future.
Well, during that, did you mention that this Ant-Man suit is like has Skrull technology in it?
Yeah, I guess so.
And it, I guess
like you don't need Pym particles. He can make artificial Pym particles that just like work the same.
Yeah, the suit just makes them.
Yeah, and which reloads is them. A little OP because it's also got like Iron Spider arms as well.
Yeah.
Which makes more sense for an ant, maybe? No, yeah, it probably makes more sense for Spider-Man. Because they got
six legs.
Yeah. Also, like Scott Lang's body wasn't in the coffin because he got blowed up too much. Like, he wasn't in there.
So Eric O'Grady is about as smart as he was in the other book.
But I like that he was using the ants to dig up the grave, and it took like 20 minutes and he barely got anywhere.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. But have you read Avengers Disassembled?
No, but I know where it is in continuity.
Yeah.
And because isn't that like before
I think House that's a of Finch X book.
Or House of M?
It's before House of M, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a David Finch book, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so it's really good. But yeah, so something was going on with the Avengers. Something's going on. And the Vision like freaked out and he like started melting and then he exploded.
Okay.
And Ant-Man Scott Lang was like, hey, why are you melting? That doesn't look very good. And then he was part of the explosion. So that's how he died.
Spoilers, Nathan.
And then it ended up being that was, I don't know. Do you want me to spoil it?
No, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I'll forget, but
it was Wanda.
Wanda was,
she was the one going she crazy. Was Vision? She was not Vision, but she was going crazy, manipulating reality, going crazy. And then she said no more mutants, which then brought House of Ebb.
So why did that make Vision blow up?
She made Vision blow up.
Because he's a mutant.
No, because she was going crazy at the time.
Oh, okay.
So she started killing a bunch of people.
Bitches be crazy.
Yeah. You know how it is. So yeah, issue 3. So this is the one where I like understood the least from like continuity perspective, because I didn't know a lot about this Ant-Man history. But we see the Electric Ant, which I guess is like a second Eric O'Grady clone android?
Evil.
Thing? It's he's evil for sure. And he's trying to find the aging ray from the first issue. And then at Avengers Mountain, which is a thing, but I thought that was part of Jason Aaron's run. But it seems like this is referencing a time before that. But anyway, Thor and Iron Man are trying to figure out what to do with Ultron, who at this point has merged with Hank Pym. And he's trapped in a vibranium / Asgardian magic vault.
And yeah, they're like made out of vibranium, but like it's got a Asgardian spell to keep it closed.
So he's like double locked. It's like 2-factor authentication.
I like how grounded this book is, Nathan.
Yeah, it's just Thor and Iron Man in.
It's very self-contained. You don't need to know anything.
you don't question when Avengers Mountain is a frozen celestial and they're just in his chest.
If I'd never known any of this, I'd be like, this is fake.
this is a
Ultron just merged with Hank Pym. How the fuck does that make sense?
This is just a weird dystopian reality. And yeah, that is a thing that happened, which I totally forgot about. I don't even know how it happens, but I remember it coming up in Secret Empire, which is when Captain America is Hydra.
Yeah,
that was an event, and then I remember him being there. I'm like, why is he Ultron?
I remember Hank Pym was in like Uncanny Avengers or something, and he was like kind of on the team, but people were like calling him Ultron, but he just looked like Hank Pym.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what do you mean?
Such a weird time, but I like that Al Ewing doesn't like shy away from anything. Like, he understands that there's like just weird shit that happened that are like pretty big, and he like puts all that in here, which I think is cool.
It doesn't like affect the book or anything.
No, not really. I mean, yeah, they would obviously want to find some way to just like get rid of this Ultron Hank Pym. And so their idea is to put him in the microverse. And so they're like, well, we need Scott Lang to do this. And so he's like, let's bring in Scott Lang. And then he also brings in his wife or his daughter, Cassie, known as the Stinger.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I did not know that either, but that's pretty funny.
That seems almost demeaning.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is actually.
Yeah. Because
You're not like your own bug. You're just a part of your mom's bug.
So there's something that was mentioned in here that Lady Sif is Heimdall's sister.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Probably. I've read a lot of Thor. Hmm. Yeah, I did know that actually. There's a pretty big.
And I guess she like kind of learned some of the stuff that he was able to do, which I thought was interesting.
I'm trying to remember if I've read any of that. Well, I think this would have happened around Mighty Thor time. Whenever this continuity is. I'm trying to like place it all in my head. I don't think I even thought about it
that much. It's probably like more 2017, right?
Yeah, Jason Aaron was on like main Thor for like a decade. Yeah. So it would have been a part of his run. So I don't know. That's a good run though. I should reread it.
All of it?
All of it, dude.
God damn.
It's honestly not that much comics.
Yeah.
To be fair. Like main just Thor story, Thory, if you will. It's probably like 50 issues.
And including like King Thor and Mighty Thor. King Thor,
okay, okay. And Unworthy Thor, but like main Thor storyline.
That sounds wrong, but I trust you.
Yeah. But Unworthy Thor and King Thor are definitely worth reading because like Unworthy Thor is like still one of my favorite Marvel comics, which we should read. But
eventually.
It's just like a weird continuity book. So yeah, in order to complete this job, Scott and Cassie need to take the vault with Hank Pym in it to Hank Pym's old lab where they can do some extra small stuff, I guess is the idea. And so the future man shows up and he scans some of the ants at a distance while they're like on their way. And then Scott and Cassie get ambushed by Electric Ant, who's trying to free Ultron, and he takes like Cassie hostage. But there's an interesting scene where Hank Pym, Ultron, telepathically connects with Scott. But it makes me really confused about this whole situation because I'm like, is he conscious in there and he's just like hanging out?
Guess so. Or maybe he's unconscious but can still
telepathically talk.
Yeah.
They call it like bug speak or something, which I think is so stupid. Because I guess
gotta,
it's like
they got to communicate somehow.
I guess bug speak is how he like connects with like the ants.
Yeah, Aquaman's got fish speak.
Batman's like, Aquaman, use your fish speak. We need a big whale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I love comics. So good.
Ultron Hank Pym is like, just let me out so we can get this all sorted out.
He's like, you know, it'd be really good if you just let me out.
Yeah.
And he's like, I couldn't even if I wanted to.
I'm trying to unmerge with this dude.
Yeah. And so Cassie just grows big to get out of it, which I feel like should not be a surprise to the Electric Ant that an Ant-Man character could just grow big if he or she wanted to. But yeah, he's taken by surprise. And then Electric Ant uses the aging ray and hits the vault that Hank Pym is in. And it like causes an explosion and he's just not there anymore. And then Scott gets teleported to the future to reveal that they are all trying to take down Allfather Ultron. So like an Asgardian Ultron, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about the future Ant-Man design? Is it too Black Manta?
It is too Black Manta.
Yeah.
I would say so. It's like cool, but it is, I guess the head, like the helmet looks like,
it does look like an ant.
Like an ant.
Yeah. But it's the one that I like the least, which is interesting.
The first time he shows up in the first issue, that's just like super Black Manta.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
Maybe if they,
supposed to be like eyes on like the sides?
Is probably.
That what those are?
It'd be cool if it was like they went more like a fire ant route with it.
Ooh, yeah, fire ants are cool.
Yeah, because it like the black ant just makes it look like Black Manta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think you're probably right.
Yeah, you know, we've said many times on this podcast that I should design stuff.
We say that every episode.
Yeah, for
Tom Riley, I have some critiques.
Yeah, I know this wasn't you. If you had the full power, you'd definitely do a fire ant.
Yep.
Maybe when I write for Marvel.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a fire Ant-Man, right?
Maybe there has.
Fire Ant
like,
powers.
When I was looking into Ant-Man books for this episode, I was like, there's not a lot of options, you know? Like,
I mean, maybe not that are good enough to become a trade.
Right. Yeah. That. And then just like, I don't know, maybe there just wasn't always a lot of main series like Ant-Man books.
This, this might come as a shock to you, but he's not the best-selling character.
Right. So I get that.
Yeah. Part of that like future tech thing comes back and it gives us a reader instruction to please contemplate moving 527 years forward in time before we turn the page, which I thought was pretty funny because
still waiting.
Yeah. So I actually haven't finished this book and this is as far as I made it. So we'll see you in 527 years.
Yeah. So when we're on like a 25,000th episode, we'll come back to this.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be a banger last issue.
So I think this cover is like the best version of like the future Ant-Man suit.
Yeah,
because the head is the helmet's a little bit narrower.
Yeah, it's more elliptical. Is that a word? Like more of an ellipses kind of. Where in like other angles, it looks just like circular, like Black Manta helmet. But yeah, I do agree. If it looked more like this, then I'd be pretty chill with it.
Yeah.
Or maybe like
then you open the first page and it's back to Black Manta, you know?
It does, yeah. Maybe if you make like the pincer thing, is that what those are called? Like little pincer things?
That's their teeth.
Their teeth. I don't think they don't count them as ant teeth.
Their toofs?
I don't think it's what they're called. But you know what?
I've said such dumb shit this episode and you keep laughing at it.
Because it's funny to me. We're just talking about Ant-Man. This is the most passion I've ever had towards this character.
That's true.
So it's fun to like make fun of it at the same time. But anyway, we get a mandated info dump sequence from the future Ant-Man, which I think is probably the best way to just dump a bunch of exposition, because he makes it feel like that we're getting it uploaded into our brain or something, and so I'm cool with it.
These books aren't real, right?
No.
Okay.
You're so stupid. I think...
I don't know.
Mighty Thor number 4,774 has not happened yet.
You know, I missed that part.
So,
but they said like Warriors 5 and Beta Ray Bill 350. That could be a book.
No.
Avenging no Ultron, Beta Ray. The All-Father... Imperative 1-5.
So what Daniel's talking about is part of this info dump, they reference certain issues as if it's like an editor's note, but as part of the gimmick, they're referencing 500 years in the future. So they're referencing books like Mighty Thor number 4,774.
I hope these actually come out. You realize,
Daniel, that Action Comics is on like 1,050. Right. And that's like the longest running comic pretty
Thor's
much.
Thor's been around longer than Superman.
No, he is not.
In like reality. In
history. Okay, that's fair.
And then we got Immortal Doom, The End, hashtag Omega.
That seems like something that would have
Avengers,
happened.
Avengers, Ultron Forever, that's, number one.
That seems pretty... You know, maybe that one has happened.
And then the tie-in issue, New Avengers, Ultron Forever, number one.
I like all new champions.
Yeah, it's good.
That's pretty funny.
Uncanny Avengers, Ultron Forever, number one.
Yeah.
So, all human Ant-Man origins, number one.
So you have to read all of those books 500 years in the future to understand this, what I'm about to say. It's like a whole history up to 2549 AD. And it's basically what happened is that the aging ray that the electric ant used frees Ultron from the vault. And then he takes out the Allfather and becomes the Allfather himself. And he conquers like Asgard and the world. Then when he kills everybody, except for one Doombot, that Doombot takes some displaced Avengers and they... like time displaced Avengers, and then they defeat Ultron, and then Zane Asgard is among the new Earth civilization that happens after they defeat Ultron, and he becomes like obsessed with Hank Pym, like the creator of Ultron, and so he creates nano ants, but these nano ants don't have like the typical ant instincts that regular ants do, so he goes back in time to scan the ants of all the different ant men to study them to use for his nano ants.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. So that's why he comes up and he just like little does like a little beam towards like their ants before he does anything else. Uh-huh. But when he returns, he leads Ultron back from like the time displacement that he was in. And now there's Allfather Ultron.
Yeah. He somehow like releases him,
which is, yeah. So this explains the ants being scanned in each issue, which I think is pretty cool. And, yeah. So that's just a big info dump that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so basically he's like, well, I got to fight this guy now. And so he goes over to like his time machine thing and he brings back all the Ant-Man from each of the cliffhangers of the last three issues to come in and fight Allfather Ultron.
And then,
which I think was pretty cool. Like,
yeah, that's all the how cliffhangers he, like play out like in real time here.
Yeah. Like the last like couple like word balloons are like the same in this sequence as they were in like the cliffhangers.
Yeah.
So pretty creative. And so Eric O'Grady like distracts Ultron, and then Hank Pym comes up with like the idea to use the aging ray that Scott brought from the present to de-age Ultron. And so Zane uses his nano ants to reverse the effects of the ray and uses it to blast Ultron pretty much to, like nothingness. And then the ants are like, hey, that was weird. And then they talk for a bit before they go back to the present. And that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah.
So a couple things.
Dude, this side, you didn't get this, but like this sideways page right here.
It's fucking awesome seeing like Ant-Man or like it's like Ultron getting de-aged, but he's going through the different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that like haven't happened yet in like Marvel continuity, but then they reference like old school looking Ultron.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I don't know what that last one is.
I don't know.
Where he looks like a ATM type thing or something. I don't know. But it's crazy to think that like Silver Age Silver Age Hank Pym meets like a fucked up Ultron merged Hank Pym.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's gotta blow his fucking mind.
Yeah.
That's like if you show someone in like the 40s, like an iPhone.
Yeah. And or they just like explode. Or like the movie Transformers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's probably a better analogy.
So you'd be like,
yeah.
What?
But this is like a Hank Pym from like the 60s, and he's like, obviously I didn't make you because I don't make anything that's evil. And then Ultron switches to his Hank Pym face, and he's like, "Boo, bitch! Like it is me." And he's like, "Oh fuck." And then I feel like the nano ants are a little bit too strong, but I feel like since it's super far in the future, I can like it's fair, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I just like seeing like this last page. You see all the Ant-Man designs in like Tom Riley style, but they still kind of pay homage to like the original art styles. So I just like seeing them like all together, and they're just like hanging out, and you can tell there's the different influences from the eras. And so
great
big,
panel,
big fan of that.
And this
shit's so good.
Also, this trade was called Antiversary.
Not as good of an ant pun,
no.
In my opinion, but you know what? It's whatever.
It's the best we can get. So I just wanted that to be brought up.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty fun. So let's get into Back Matter Matters, Daniel.
Back Matter Matters.
Now, I forgot that you weren't getting the trade, so I'll tell you what the Back Matter is.
Can I see it? Did you write it down?
I wrote it down.
Can I have your phone then?
Yeah, so basically it's all the Tales to Astonish issues that shows the Rogues Gallery that is in the first issue of the book.
To prove to them that these people are real.
Yeah, so we see like the window washer guy or the guy with like the trumpet, and it just shows like a couple pages from like each of those Tales to Astonish issues, which I think is pretty fun.
Yeah.
I didn't read them entirely. I thought that was something that you were going to do because you typically do that, because I hate reading old comics.
Ah, man.
But I thought that was pretty cool that it was in there.
You know that I would have.
Yeah, I know you would have. But
there's
like
a lot of pages. These are like whole ass issues, dude.
No, I think they're parts of different issues. So it's like five pages from like Tales to Astonish, this number, and then five pages from this number. So
the Master of Time.
Yeah. So again, it was.
Dude, old comics do look like so cool on like Comixology, though.
100%. Yeah. But yeah, there was like Trago there, who's the guy with the trumpet, the Time Master, the Protector, and Window Washer, which I think is. It's so stupid. But and then
that is the most intimidating job.
It's a cool job though. I love every time that comes up on like my TikTok for you page, I'm like, this would be kind of fun.
Oh dude, that's a cool ass cover.
Yeah. And then so we got some variant covers. One of them is the Scotty cover that you have.
Yep.
And what are the other ones? I forget.
There's one by Patrick Gleason and Brian Valenza with the Hulk.
Oh yeah,
that's a cool pretty one. Sick.
I love Patrick Gleason.
We got Betsy Cola and NetEase. That looks sounds like it's a games variant. So maybe it's like someone who makes video games or something like that. And then the back cover.
Yep. So pretty solid back matter.
Good stuff. I love reading books that I had already. And you
this
know,
was the
I
right
would
thing
have,
to
I
read.
Would have caught up. I feel like do we could do some spring cleaning, more stuff like this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we have this, haven't read it.
But we should mandate ourselves to read it.
Having an episode will just get us more on track.
And we'll have to do a Strange Adventures episode because I know you haven't read all that shit.
I'm only like two away from finishing.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, because I force-fed myself when last time Mitch did a signing.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And that's some good stuff. I just didn't finish it.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, Nathan.
What would you rate this book?
That's Gotta Have It.
Mm-hmm.
With mini M&Ms.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. This is a like it. Okay. But from the perspective of an ant. So to an ant, a like it is so much ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how much I like this book.
Yeah.
The ant.
Nathan, a taster spoon, because that's what Ant-Man would be able to eat if he shrunk down.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'd be a lot of ice cream still for him.
Do you remember when we had that conversation with Ultimates and we were like, if he eats food and then grows big, is it big food in his stomach? And apparently it's not, according to that book, because when he grows big, he's like, I'm fucking hungry right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we were like, how does that work? And We so, came to some conclusion.
So I everything think I was else right. stays the same, but he gets bigger.
I think the organic matter that is part of his body is what grows. And yeah. so stuff that's in his stomach does not.
Yeah. And so
I think that's what we say. Because we were like, if he goes small, eats grape, and then gets big again.
Not big grape?
Not big grape. But when small, big grape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But only when you're small, though.
But only when you're small. Yeah.
So.
So, like, if you normal size Daniel eats Chipotle burrito, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
But then if you grow 60 feet tall, that's like you ate one grape.
Yeah.
That's the best way I could explain comics to you. Daniel, let's get waste. Into the pull list, colon.
Wait, what if he has like those little disc things that he throws at stuff?
Then that's big food now.
You make big burrito.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's different because he's making that big. Unless he swallows one and he just hopes that it hits the food in his stomach.
That doesn't seem like a good thing.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Oh, you know that like surgery that people do to make their stomach smaller? Maybe he could do that with like the shrinking one.
Like cut his stomach open?
No, and no, then it would just shrink his stomach so that he doesn't get as hungry and it's like a diet, you know? Because he can't eat as much.
That would only be a temporary solution at best.
Oh, yeah, because the pimp particles like wear off.
They do, yeah. So.
All right, never mind.
Daniel, the pull list, call in.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Daniel.
Nathan.
I walked into the comic shop today.
And they didn't have new comics.
And I looked at everything, and I was like, there's so much here. It's so cool. I did not pick up a single thing, and I left.
You just walked out. I can't believe you made the trip.
I made the trip, and I was like, I wonder what I have.
You parked?
I went to the guy, and I'm like, I just created like a box not too long ago. And he's like, is there anything in my box? And he's like, nope. So you can spend all this money on the wall. He said that. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, that sounds good to me. And so I went to the wall, and I was like, I don't care about any of this.
Yeah.
there's nothing I was currently reading that came out this week for some reason.
Yeah.
There was some new stuff that seems pretty interesting. There's
Blood Tree,
which I was like, okay. What was that? Pete Tomasi, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, there's a Gray Frank cover. I like that guy. I did flip through it because I was like, should I buy this? But I'm trying not to buy as many number ones when I have not finished number sixes, you know, that I have. So I also saw like Almighty by Edward LaRocque, who I know for some reason. I couldn't tell you what he's done, but I think I follow him on Twitter or something. Flipped through. Art looks really good. And I just didn't pick it up. So I
is that a trade?
No, it's like a first issue. So I like walked in, fucked around for like 10 minutes and I left and I didn't buy a single thing.
That is fun.
Which has never happened to me, I'm pretty sure.
I think like shopping for comics and reading comics are two totally different hobbies.
I did see the New Frontier like big old trade thing and it looks so gorgeous and it's not that expensive for what you're getting.
Yeah, it's like $30.
But I didn't pick that up either. So
really? Yeah. So same thing. I didn't have anything. I was like, I went to go get my haircut today. I told you already. But like,
I can't wait to hear your story again. It's so riveting.
I was like 5 minutes away, and then my barber calls me and he says that the building has like no electricity. And so I'm like, fuck. And so I didn't want to go back the way I came because I saw the traffic. And so I just like, it was kind of out of the way, but I went to the comic shop because I hadn't been in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, on the way there, I'm like, I don't even know if I have anything. And so I was like scrolling through Fresh Comics while I was driving. You know?
Yeah. There's no law against that.
Yeah. Be like, were you texting and driving? Be like, no, actually.
No, I was looking at the solicitations. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And I couldn't find anything. I thought it was because I was driving or something. And I get there and like, I'm like, oh, normally like not everything is, you know, on Fresh Comics. So it's probably something I'm missing. But nope, nothing.
You didn't want to buy a DC Lazarus Planet?
No.
Dark Crisis. That book has like five titles. Dark Web
or whatever?
No, Dark Web's Spider-Man stuff.
But still.
But yeah, there's like five different titles of that book. And I was like, there's also a Flash comic that came out that was called Minute War.
I saw that.
And I'm like, that's a fucking cool name.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a whole war happening in like a minute.
Right.
And I love that idea, but I didn't pick it up.
But what I did get was it's like a web comic that was printed. It was called Friday by Ed Brubaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
And Marcos Martin, right?
Probably. I don't know. But like I asked him to order it because I was like, do you have this still? Because I just heard a podcast with him talking about it. It sounded really good. And he's like, no, but I'll order some because I needed to, like, and there's like a second one too, but he didn't, that one wasn't in stock yet.
Friday two.
Yeah.
Saturday?
Next Friday.
Next Friday.
The third one would be like Friday after next or whatever.
That would be great.
Yep. But
Marcos Martin's great.
Hold on.
If it's not him, I'm going to be ashamed, but I'm 99.5% sure. Oh, I like the size of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm like obsessed with these little comics.
I love me a little comic.
Because like, see that shelf right there that has Black Hole on it? Like, those are all just like little comics that
Black fit Hole? In there.
Yeah.
Next to your manga?
Yeah, under Admiral Akbar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I see. Maybe that thing's in the way. But that shelf only fits like the shorter books.
Oh, okay.
I see. And so I just kind of like love little books because I know they can fit in that shelf.
Yeah, you need a little bookshelf.
So you're right. Marcos Martin and Munza Vicente.
That's awesome. No, he's Marcos Martin's the guy that did like Barrier
with
BKV.
Mm.
I think he did another thing with Brubaker as well. But
yeah, so this looks pretty cool. I thought it was going to be black and white, honestly, based off the cover, but there's colors in it.
Yeah. That's good.
This is book one, The First Day of Christmas. So maybe it could be a Christmas book. Christmas book.
Let's go.
But anyway, I got that.
So. Can't wait to read that in 50 weeks.
Yeah, this is like $15. So it's like worth.
100%. I'm down to read that in Christmas time.
And it's probably like only like 100 pages or something.
Yeah. Very cool. That's a good pick.
Yeah. Did you read anything?
I've just been reading the thing that we're going to read next week.
True.
Because it's going to be pretty big for our big 150.
Big 150.
150.
Did you watch anything, Nathan?
I did, Daniel.
Let's hear it.
I started watching The White Lotus. Have you heard of this?
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Sophie started watching it and she was like, this is really good. You want to watch it? And I was like, yeah. And so I've been watching it with her. She's already seen it, but she's also continuing to watch it where she's at in the show. And I'm just like consistently like 5 episodes behind her, which is a little bit strange.
Yeah.
But it's like pretty good, I would say.
I didn't like it at all.
I did not like it at first. I was like, I kind of just hate everybody
that's
like a part of this, even though. But like after this, I've only watched 2 episodes, but I can already see how they're like weaving the storylines together.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in like a really creative way, I feel like.
Sure. They're all at the same place.
Well, yeah. But I think, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. There's clearly like one person you're supposed to like, and it's the person that got moited. Moited?
Moited.
Moited?
Who got moited?
Alexandra Daddario's character.
Oh. Wait, is that like obvious?
In the first scene, the husband's like, my wife got murdered. Don't talk to me. People at the airport. And then it shows.
Did he say that?
He does say that. He's like, my wife's dead or something. And so like clearly his wife is not alive anymore. And the whole show's like, why?
So if you were to guess, other than her, who dies?
I was not aware that other people would die.
It's potential.
But I think the hotel manager is going to have some shit that happens to him. I think he is either the moiterer or the moitered.
I don't know what this says about me, but he was like my favorite character.
I think he's great. I'm like, this guy is just keeping it real, you know?
Yeah. I don't like that show. It's very overhyped. It's just a show about like nothing. It's just like a bunch of Karens, you know? Yeah,
I do see that. I do like the person that went to the White Lotus alone. I think that, and she like gets like really over attached.
Yeah. To the psychiatrist or whatever.
Yeah, the massage person.
What's that lady's name?
I didn't like her at first, and then I'm like, she's just too ridiculous, and I kind of enjoy her now.
She's kind of like a cartoon character.
She really is.
Oh no, what the fuck's her name? Why Jennifer Coolidge?
What?
Jennifer Coolidge?
Oh, Jennifer Coolidge. That's
her name.
What else has she been in?
I think she was Stifler's mom in American Pie.
100%. Yep. Okay.
But that's what I think you know her from.
Yeah.
She definitely was. It even says Stifler's mom, not even like a different name. She was actually in Two Broke Girls. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's really
okay. I can see her in that as well. Oh, doesn't she work there? And like part of the thing?
She's like some rich lady who just like always went in there and was like banging the cook.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, anything else?
No, that's the only new thing. And just continuing all the normal things. I've been playing more Midnight Suns, which has been fun. And yeah, playing more Valorant and then just watching The Last of Us.
Cool.
Which, have you started?
No.
You should. I was an emotional wreck this last episode for about 20 minutes.
Was it because of the gay sex scene?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw my boy Nick Offerman be a gay man and I was like, God damn it.
I was wondering if he was in it, but...
He is. And Parks and Recreation is like my favorite show. This is my favorite thing that Nick Offerman has ever done.
Wow.
This is the only show I feel like in forever where I want to watch it as soon as it comes out. And I do not watch TV a lot. And you know this about me.
Yeah.
But I am going to be there at 7 p.m. Sundays every single week, except for Super Bowl, which is going to pain me a little bit. I'll have to be off the internet until I watch
it. Maybe they'll just postpone it.
I will watch. No, they won't. It's going to be airing the same day.
It'll be like fourth quarter.
I know. And so, yeah, I'm probably going to watch it like right after. But it's really, really good.
Okay. I believe you. I just haven't got around it.
I cried a lot.
Wow.
And then I thought about it for like 2 days after. I'm like, that was so good. So
you just stopped thinking about it yesterday?
Yeah, pretty. No. Yeah. No, it came out on Sunday. Oh, yeah, today's Wednesday. God damn it. Well, then I've still been thinking about it, I feel like. So I highly recommend.
I know. Nathan, Sarah had her bachelorette party on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
so you're...
So I was like, just home alone.
The old ball and chain's gone. Got to watch some movies.
I was so lost in like what to do. Like there's too many options what I could possibly do. So I did like... I was multitasking. I was like building Legos by watching movies and also watching movies that I know she would not want to watch or is also declined watching in the past.
Okay, cool.
I watched Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, a good one.
Because I've never watched that one. Dude, Jim Carrey is like a completely different person in that.
100%.
And it's so impressive.
Yeah. I don't remember much of that movie, but I remember at the end he does a one-armed pull-up and I've never seen that before in my life at the time. I watched that movie in theaters, I think, with Ben.
Dude, fucking Daniel Kaluuya is in it. I don't know if you remember. Yeah, this must have been one of his like early roles.
Whoa.
He was a character called the Black Death.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah. It was because like that villain dude, like McLovin, he just like names all of his henchmen these really racist things. And so he's like,
hey, maybe I do remember that.
The black guy is like, you're the Black Death.
That's awful.
They recasted that one dude, Evan Peters' character, his name's like Todd.
Yeah.
It's like some different guy.
Interesting.
He didn't have as big as of a role, so I get it. Fucking like Wong is in this.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I should rewatch this movie.
Both of them, actually. There's like a lot of content in there.
Have you watched the first movie recently or you just jumped to Kick-Ass 2?
A couple, like only like 3 years ago, maybe.
Oh,
so okay. Not like I can still remember a lot of it. You know?
Sure.
And then we just read it and it's pretty close.
Yeah.
There was just a couple little things that I thought were fun. There was like this like flashback thing of like his dad like hanging up this poster and it was like just a Superior poster.
Oh,
like a Mark Miller book. I was like, oh my God, he's just plugging his own shit again.
No, hey, he's got to figure it out.
Yeah. But overall, it's like a little cheesy, like compared to the first one.
Yeah.
And I get like, it's like a sequel.
It's not as good. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely not a perfect movie, but I still liked it, you know?
Yeah.
It has like a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
it seems
like,
too low.
It does seem a little low, like a little harsh. I don't know if that was critics or not, but...
Probably.
It seemed a little harsh. And Nathan, we're doing one of your favorite segments where I explain a movie to you very badly.
Okay, let's do this.
So I watched this movie
I have to guess it or...?
No.
Okay, all right.
Because the movie is that... You might not know.
Okay.
So there's this movie called Colossal that I watched.
It sounds familiar.
It's got Anne Hathaway in it. She's the main character. She's like this unemployed writer who moves back home.
Is this a Netflix original?
No. It's it was like a movie that came out and it's just on HBO Max right now.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And so she moves back to like her parents' house who don't even live there. And so... And in her hometown is Jason Sudeikis, who has a bar. And when she walks drunkenly into like a kid's park at like 8 a.m. The next day she hears about like a kaiju attack on Seoul in South Korea.
Yeah.
And then she notices like the kaiju doing things that she does. Like she has this like nervous thing. This came out like
last year.
Yeah, right? It's very new.
Late last year. Okay.
Yeah, have you heard about it?
I have.
So I heard about it on a podcast and I was told, and they didn't spoil it on purpose because like it's just better to go into it completely blind.
Just spoil it for me right now.
Yeah, I don't think you would like it and I don't recommend it.
Oh, okay.
Like I liked it, but I wouldn't tell someone else to watch it.
Sure, okay.
And so she figures out like at the same time every single day in the same spot in the park, she is able to do what this kaiju does. And there's like this live feed that it shows like what she's doing. So she convinces her friends like that this is real.
She like dance around and stuff. And
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So and if she doesn't go into that park, does the kaiju just like sit there?
Doesn't show up.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she like accidentally kills people, you know, because she's like waving her arms and like hits a helicopter or something.
Yeah.
And then one time they're doing it because they like, well, she starts working at the bar and then they like drink all night and then go to the park in the morning, which is a bad idea.
Yeah, not a good
idea. And it turns out that Jason Sudeikis, when he walks into the park, a giant robot shows up in South Korea.
Okay.
And so they like would have these little like play fights and like give people like hope and stuff like that for a little bit.
Okay.
And so Jason Sudeikis is like his old friend of hers, like when she was like little, like from elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he actually like ends up being like the villain of like the okay, whole thing.
That which makes sense to me.
Which is very strange to see Jason Sudeikis in that light.
Does he do a syndrome?
I don't know what you mean.
He creates a conflict so that he can solve the conflict.
No.
Okay.
So he becomes like super like possessive over her for some reason. And it's like, it doesn't really make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like an alcoholic. And so he like kind of threatens to, if like she like leaves town and like quits her job, like he'll like just go to the park and just start stomping around and like, you know, killing people in Seoul.
Right.
And so how she solves it is she goes to Seoul in South Korea. And I guess when she's in Seoul, the kaiju shows up in her hometown and she was able to like just figure out where he was based off of where the giant robot was in Seoul, pick him up, like look at him to really scare the shit out of him. And he just fucking chucks him like, I don't know. Like,
my God.
Because he was about to like kill people every single day. Until she like comes back or whatever. And so that's how the movie ends. And
that sounds like a dream.
Yeah, no, it's like
sounds like it would be a dream.
Absolutely a dream.
That's dream logic to be like, okay, if I'm here, Godzilla here, but if I'm there, Godzilla over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I know if I were to watch that with like Sarah, she would have like hated it, but I thought it was pretty good. But it was like a little slow.
Yeah.
And anyway,
I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Good movie.
And also watched World's End. It's a Edgar Wright movie that has...
Yeah. Okay. That's part of the trilogy that people call the
Coretto trilogy.
The Coronetto.
Yeah.
Coronetto trilogy. Yeah. And yeah. Pretty good.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I watched it forever ago. It used to come up on like Comedy Central or something all the time.
Really? No. Because I'd watched Hot Fuzz not that long ago. I'm like, oh, good movie. And then
pretty good.
I heard that there's another one. And that's like the third one. And this one had like a much bigger budget than like the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I was like watching it. And I'm like, is this movie like about nothing? Because like it was just like this all about drinking and like going doing this like bar crawl or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I like these characters. And so I was just like.
Just watching it.
There. Yeah. And then it just like turns and has this like sci-fi element to it. I'm like, oh, this is why I watched it, but I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the bar at the end was called World's End. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's just doesn't have this supernatural element to it. But it totally did. And it was really funny.
Yeah. I haven't seen that in forever, but yeah, I do remember that. Remember Paul?
Oh, yeah.
that was a movie.
I think about that movie a lot, actually.
They go to like comic book conventions. And I think like Ryan Otley is in that movie.
So is Robert Kirkman.
Are they both in that movie?
Yeah.
That's so sick.
And then what's his name? Simon Pegg?
Simon Pegg, yeah.
He's wearing like an Invincible shirt in one of the scenes.
Oh my God. I think I'd have a much bigger appreciation for just that movie, particularly that scene.
Yeah.
If I rewatched it now.
But anyway, yeah, that was all that I watched. I didn't read anything.
That sounds fun.
What are we gonna read next week?
What are we reading next week, Nathan?
They know it's our big 150. And so we were like, we need to read something really good. And what's something that we always knew was really good, but we never read because it's really long?
DC's New Frontier.
By Darwin Cook, Daniel.
Yes.
Let him cook.
By Dace. Let him let Cook cook.
Let him cook. With an E.
With colors by Dave Stewart.
Oh, yeah. The GOAT.
The GOAT.
If you haven't read it, you probably should. I don't know. I've never read it, actually.
Neither have I.
There's a movie.
Yeah, there's an animated movie.
Yeah, I should watch that too.
Is it like fucking 6 hours long?
It would have to be.
I guess with like the pacing, maybe like it would flow a lot better.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to read it and watch it.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, just kind of compare.
Yeah, exactly. But
is that on?
I'm super excited for that.
Is that on like HBO Max?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like a Super Sons movie that just came out. Like an animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, we talked about that in our news a couple times.
I know, but I didn't know it like came out already. Those bitches just come out.
They just drop all
the
time.
There was like a Green Lantern one, and I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's what we're reading next week.
Alrighty. Thank you, everybody who's been here since day one. Episode one.
Been here for 149 episodes.
A short 3 years ago.
That's pretty long.
Ish. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's almost like 3 years exactly, right?
Because
we started like April 17th or some shit, right?
March 20th, I think.
Oh, that's probably
because like, the first week of like shutdown,
and we're like, let's do a podcast,
like podcast time.
This is the perfect time.
This is our calling.
And then we became a meme.
Yeah,
and you know what? I'm okay with it.
That's fine. We're having fun. We got our link tree in the description. Go like our stuff, follow, subscribe if you want.
Yes,
you can email us at traderspod@gmail.com.
Give us some recommendations.
Tell us what to read. Tell us what to do. We love it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it. Goodbye.
All right. Bye.